Good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening. Might want to turn me down just a little bit. You pray for me. I need the Lord's help tonight. Good to see everybody out in the house of the Lord. We're thankful for all of God's goodness. I was looking at that song last night real late, and I just kept saying, you know, that song, we ought to sing that song. We ought to sing that song. We didn't sing that song, and then we come in here tonight and we sing that song. Every song I think that we should have sung this week has been sung. And I credit that to God. You know that? He knows right what we need and when we need it. A lot of times we think it ought to be then, but then we just have to wait on the Lord. When we wait on the Lord, He blesses just at the right time, doesn't He? And so we're thankful to be here tonight. It's been a pleasure and just a great honor for me to be here and to work with Brother Miller. And this is something that I've looked forward to for a long, long time. I'm honest in that. I really am. And one of these days, we won't have to anticipate being together like this, because we will. We won't have to say goodbye, because we're going to be in heaven. And the reason we've had these services this week is we want everybody to go to heaven with us. Everybody. I don't want anybody to be left out. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, we sure don't want you to be left out. We're glad God's given you this opportunity. And as that song says, God delivers again. When things seem like that they're just hopeless, He delivers again. What a song to introduce our subject tonight. We're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27, and also 28. Genesis chapter 1, the first book of the Bible, verses 26, 27, 28. Very, very familiar reading lesson. And I was just praying this afternoon and saying, Lord, what do I need to preach on tonight? And this subject just keeps coming to my mind and my heart. And then I began to meditate on that, and God began to open up some things for me that I have never preached on in this way, but that's okay. We'll just depend upon the Lord. In the 26th verse, very familiar, it says, And God said, Let us make man in our image. That's important. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's reading three verses of Scripture for our reading lesson tonight. And the thought that God has laid upon my heart tonight is the image of God. Adam and Eve were made in the image of God. Now, we know that as they were made in the image of God, they were made that way. God breathed into Adam's nostrils. He became a living soul. And then Adam took a rib, or the Lord took a rib from Adam and made woman. But He created both of them. And then it says that they were created in the image of God. Today and tonight, how do you see God? The image of God. How do you see the image of God? And I closed my eyes and I began to think about how can we, in our mind, comprehend the image of God. Now, when Adam and Eve were created in the garden in the image of God, they were placed in the garden. It said all the things that they were allowed to do, and they were allowed to do everything except eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For it said, in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, you see, and what will happen is you will transgress God's law, and you will die. And that's exactly what happened. But God still made them in His image. And even though they transgressed the law, and because of that, sin entered into the world, into mankind, and sin, we were born in sin. So what does the image of God look like? And as we look at this, the first thing I thought about was, you know what God is? He's holy. God's holy. Let's not lose sight of the fact that God is holy. And because he's holy, maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, how can I see the image of God as being holy? Well, let's look at Isaiah. We've been looking at Isaiah quite a bit this week. Isaiah chapter 6, and these are the words. I'll review them a little later, but there's seven attributes of the image of God that he's laid upon my heart tonight that I want to expound upon. The first one is God is holy. He is as holy today as he's ever been. He's holy. Now, if the image of God is holy and we're made in the image of God, keep that thought. He made man and woman in the image of God, and God is holy. And it says in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So Isaiah said in the year that Uzziah died, he said that the Lord was sitting upon a throne. God is still on his throne. And as God is still on his throne, he says that he saw God high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Oh, I would that all of us that are here would see God in his holiness tonight. He said, above it stood the seraphims, which are these angels. Each one had six wings. With twain they covered his face. With twain they covered his feet. And with twain they did fly. And you know what they said? They said, God is holy, holy, holy. Listen to this. What I'm telling you about the image of God tonight is something that is spectacular. These angels, they were, one cried into another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I believe with all of my heart that the whole earth is still full of his glory. Why can't we see it? Sin. Why can't we see it? Blindness. All these things have been talked about throughout the week. There's Satan, this devil that's always trying to rob God of his holiness. I have news for him. He'll never take away God's holiness because he's holy, holy, holy. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims to me, having a live coal on his hand, in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. We've gone through this revival all week since a week ago, Friday. And I want you to know, have you asked God to send you? Have you been just seeking the holiness of God and saying, and I felt God this week. I don't know if you have. I have felt God's holiness this week. I've seen his holiness manifested in a way that makes me feel just like Isaiah. I'm a man of unclean lips. This subject is so large. This subject is so holy. This subject is so big that I will not be able to convey in words to describe what God is. His image, the image of God. And the image of God, it is holy. And he said, go. He said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. He said, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted and be healed. And said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the thrones without men and the land be utterly desolate. I would encourage all of us sometime in the next few days or even tonight just to close your eyes and listen with your heart. And I pray if you just see God in his holiness, it will be effective. It will affect you. We're talking about the image of God. The second thing that I thought of after I thought about how God is holy, and the second thing I thought of is that God is glorious. He's glorious. God, his image is glorious. And because of that, I thought about the psalmist and what he said in the 19th division of Psalms. And I have verses of scripture that go along with every one of these. It's like as I was meditating and praying about all these things that I needed to say tonight, I began to think about the things that of the image of God. And Psalms 19 and 1, it says, the heavens declare what? The heavens declare the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, you that are here and not saved, after I've meditated on this, and I would encourage you to meditate on the Word of God, I sat out in the porch swing. The twins were there. I was tired in body. And I got to looking at the eastern sky. And I began to look at the glory of God. I'm telling you, the image of God is glorious. His glory is just everywhere. You know what? When we look beyond the sin and the toils and all the heartaches and all the tribulation in this world, and we just look at what God has created, it's glorious. We can't fathom in our feeble mind the glory of God as his image is made up. He's holy. He's glorious. And then it says that, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. It says, day and to day uttereth speech, and the night showeth knowledge. He said, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I'll tell you, I can relate to that. I've been in other foreign countries. I've looked up and I remember vividly my first trip to Africa and Kenya. We went to the church there, Ramogi Hill, and I walked up to the church and I got to looking around, and there was a shower that came that day, and I got to look up into the sky, and you know what was up there? It was a beautiful rainbow. And the glory of God, Brother Mike was there, we all saw it, and the glory of God was there, and you can see it there on one end of the earth to the other. God's glory is everywhere, and his image is shown forth in the beauty of nature and all the things that he's created. Oh, I just pray that you that are lost would get a grasp, at least a little grasp of what God and his holiness and his glory and his image tonight. And I'm going to tell you the last thing that I put down, there's only one way, and I'll leave that to last, that you're going to be able to understand or even a little bit about the image of God and what it is all about. And so as I get ready to continue into this message, I'm reminded of what the last verse says. It says, let the words of my mouth, and I mean this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Every message that I preach, the message tonight, it is so important that it's accepted of God. And I want to honor him tonight in his image, the image of God. The third thing that I want to recognize about the image of God, and that is he's the Almighty. The Almighty. In Genesis 17 and 1, we find there that Abram was 99 years old. And from what I can understand, Genesis 19 is the first time that God introduces himself as God Almighty and how that he does that. And I thought, well, I'd just skip over that and not read it. But then the Lord says, no, you read that because every word that is in this book it is very, very important. And I know that before I get done, the Lord will have to bring the message. Every message we've ever preached, we just know that God, if we just follow Him, that He will take it and put it where it needs to fall. And so this is what it says in the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. And Abram was 90 years old and nine. And it says, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. And he says, walk before me and be thou perfect. He said, I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. You say, well, he was talking about the nation of Israel. I believe this with all of my heart, that the church, if they'll let the Almighty God lead and direct us and we follow him, he will just help us to grow mightily in this world that we live in, and so that others would be saved and the church would grow. And you know what? If we just let God Almighty have His way in all of our actions and all of our words and all of our thoughts, and when we focus on the image of God and how holy and glorious He is, and we allow Him to, the Almighty, just to have His way, even in this service, in every service, and after the service, and in our homes, in our schools, in our workplace. You say, but they're not godly people there. That's not an excuse to be ungodly. You see, the Almighty God and His image, it should shine forth in our hearts so that others might see the image of God. You see, that's what it's all about. I've heard the phrase, I've heard the statement made, you know, a lot of people, especially in other countries and other areas and big cities and other places, they'll say, the statement has been made that the only Bible that anyone will ever see or read is you. So what kind of image do you want to shine forth? Well, I really desire the image of God, but I know that I fall way short in that. But listen to what it says in Revelations 1 and 8 concerning the Almighty God. I have a lot of scriptures tonight, and I'll try to hasten along, but this is very, very important. Jesus said this. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. He said, the Almighty. So that kind of gives us a little peek, a sneak peek, if you will, of what really the image of God is all about. First of all, He's holy, He's glorious, He's almighty. So what is the next thing that God is? He's true and He's righteous. He is true and righteous. The image of God is true and it is righteous. In the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, I want to read some scriptures there. And maybe if God will allow us to, we will expound upon them. But this is what John the Revelator saw. He said, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. And you know what they were saying? I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but if there's anybody that can truly identify with the image of God and what He's all about, it's those saints that died in the Lord, and they're right there in the presence of God. And you know what they're saying? They're saying, hallelujah to the God, Lord God omnipotent. That's what they're saying. You see, they're identifying with the image of God and what He's really all about. You see, He said that the voice of much people saying, hallelujah. And they said, salvation and glory and honor and power and the Lord our God. Why? Because the image of God, He said, for true and righteous are the judgments, His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of the servants at her hand. I'll tell you, that's why the gospel's still here. That's why there's a church still here, because God has allowed us to come tonight and worship the true and righteous God. Again, they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 4 and 20 elders and the four beasts, they fell down and worshiped God and the one that sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And then he said, and I heard as it was the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of the many waters, and the voice of the mighty thundering saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And so you see, his true and righteous judgment has allowed us to be here tonight and to give him praise and honor and glory. But I couldn't think to just think about all those Satan dead. My brothers, my sisters, those in my family, my kinsmen that are singing up there right now. My voice is tired tonight, but I'm going to a place where we'll be able to sing, true and righteous judgment belongeth, because you are the image of the Almighty God. I'm so thankful for that tonight. God, please speak to me and feed us as we need this. I need it. We all need it. So he said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor. He said, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife had made herself ready, and and she was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. He said, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And so we see that God, his image tonight, and the image of God is true and is righteous. And the church and the bride and all that are truly saved by God's grace, what are they doing? They're calling you and saying, come, come to the image of God. Come to him just as you are. Oh, I don't know if this is the right time to say it or not. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But what I'm trying to do is put a backdrop, you see, of all the image of God and how that we stand before that. And when we stand in front of the image of God in our sinful state that we're in the fact that we are sinners that have been separated from God in death and trespasses and sin, and when we see ourselves as God sees us, holy and true and righteous and all these attributes of God, I see that I'm just like a little worm, you see. I can't even stand before the Almighty God because he's so holy. The image of God. For whatever reason, I thought about this, that the image of God is good. It's good. I searched through the scriptures, and every time I'd search through them, the Lord, he would redirect my heart, and he said, this is what I want you to tell the people. Something that we have practiced in the Spurgeon household for many years, and that is that we taught our children. And I would encourage you to teach your children. And this morning we sat around the breakfast table, Hannah on one side, Hope on the other, Luke and Christy. And we sat there at the table and we held hands. And you know what we taught them when they started coming around the table? Is to see the image of God as he being good. And this is how we do this. We say, God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands, we are fed. Thank you, Lord, for daily bread. I'm telling you, God is so good that he supplies our every need, doesn't he, Brother Jerry? Oh, that's a beautiful verse that he read tonight. All the good things and all the blessings, they come down from our Heavenly Father. You know why? Because his image is good. He's good. And I'll tell you tonight, he is so good that he has fed my soul. Brother Jerry and I were talking. He was enjoying his time in his study this week. And when you just sit with the Lord and you see and you feel his presence, is so good to feel the presence of God. And I feel so inadequate to be able to express tonight and the image of God and what his image is all about. But I pray that before the conclusion of of this message tonight, that you will see all of these attributes of God and what He is. And you say, well, Brother Spurgeon, I want to see it. How am I going to see it? Well, there's only one way that you're going to be able to see it. I've already gone through six of these images of God tonight. I'll go over them in just a minute. But you know what? I believe this one. This image of God is so important that it's really why we've come to meet tonight. You say, why would we do that? Because we're a New Testament church. Who set up the New Testament church? God's Son. God's Son did that. He did. The Bible says He purchased it with His own blood. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And the Bible says that the Son of God, Jesus, is the image of God. He is the image of God. He and God are one. And now, how is that so? Well, let's look at the scriptures in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Let's look at what Paul said. He said, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. He says, and do desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. You see, that's what we're trying to encourage you to see God tonight and how you can see Him. Now, I know that God is way, way up there on His throne, but you know, He has left us with the Spirit of the Lord. And with that Spirit, He helps us to understand that God is real. And as we grow in the Lord and as we find out the many things about God and what He really is all about, this is what He says. He says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Oh, when we get saved, you should grow and learn more about the Lord and His wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption. He said, through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, that fellowship was severed in the garden between Adam and Eve, passed down to all of us. They were made in the image of God. Our soul is still, you see, made in the image of God. But then there comes a time when the knowledge of God and your sinfulness, it comes upon you, and then you become separated from God. And the only way back to the image of God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at the next verse. He says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God. Did you see verse 13? It's a continuation from the word dear Son. The dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible. He says, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And it says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He says, the head of the body, the church, who is in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have, He says, the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. He says, by Him I say, whether they be things of the earth or things in heaven. And so the image of God is manifested through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we that are saved by God's grace, we can't even understand or have even a recollection, if you will, of the image of God until we are reconciled back to God. Listen, it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Brother Miller read this the other night, and I thought to myself, well, this needs to be read again. At least two verses of it. You know what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4? It validates what I'm trying to say. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is what? Who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's why we're here. That's why we come to church. That's why we have revival. That's why we're trying to help people understand what the image of God is, and that the blindness that you're in could be taken away with the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. That's how we understand at least a little bit about the holiness of God. You know what Peter said? He said, be ye holy. God said, be ye holy as I am holy. And oftentimes we go through life, we'll do put forth a little bit more effort during church or during revival, but I'm here to tell you, my brothers and my sisters and you that are lost, you need to understand, you need God. You need him. We all need him. And so I'm just about done. How can you be acquainted again with the image of God? You know, Jesus asked a question one day while he was here. It was in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. In the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. I love this. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, you were asked that question. In fact, one of the first questions I ask is, how do you see God? How do you see the image of God? How can you I'll tell you, the first time I really got acquainted with the image of God, I was so afraid and so scared that I didn't know what to do. It's a frightful thing to do that. How can it be frightful to be acquainted with the image of God that is holy, glorious, almighty, true, good, righteous, and not only that, the Son of God shines? I'll tell you, this is God. And when I think about what he knows about me and all of his beauty and all of his glory, I see that I am so, so far removed. But you know how we're made nigh? By the cross. By the cross. We read that to you. That he is that one that breaks down that middle wall of partition with the peace that comes from God. Now, how can you know that? It's in the question that Jesus asked. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah or Elias. Others, Jeremiah or Jeremiah the prophet. Or maybe even one of the other prophets. But then Jesus followed it up with another question. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you say that he is? Who is Jesus to you? Simon Peter answered, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How'd you know that, Peter? How does anybody know it? How does anybody come acquainted with the image of God? Jesus answered that too. He answered and he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. He said, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you. He said, but my Father in heaven. Now, if God reveals his image to us, and he does, think about that. God picked me out of the crowd. He picked you out of the crowd. He wanted you to know what His image is all about, His likeness, the thing that Adam and Eve had in the garden that's gone now. But if you want it back, the only way you're going to get it, flesh and blood's not going to reveal it to you. Only the Father in heaven. How's it going to happen? Oh, Jesus, He spent at least 3 years going around telling people, seek the Lord while He may be found. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things. He even said in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke, when all these people were making pointing out all these other sinners. Well, aren't they bigger sinners? Because they committed a larger sin than we did. And He even did a comparison, said, those that did this and those that did that, I'll tell you, they're no greater sinner than you are. He said, unless you repent, ye shall likewise perish. Then you're going to really be acquainted with the image of God. But then, it's too late. So if you want to understand what the image of God is, or at least a portion of that, or that's not the right wording. If you want to have a right relationship and fellowship with God, the only way you're going to do it is through the Son. His Son. The Son of the living God. Not a dead God. He's alive. I have felt Him tonight. I've felt Him throughout this week. One writer said, if God is dead, who's this living in my soul? Who is it? It's real. When I feel His holiness, I just feel about that tall. When He reveals His gloriness to me, it's almost like I'm just a little child being rocked in the cradle of His love. When I realize that He's the Almighty God, and it seems like there's nothing we can do. I can remember that trip. We made 5 trips with the babies over here to the medical center. Leslie, and Sarah Beth, and Heather, and then a baby that didn't make it. I'm going to tell you, you're going to depend on an Almighty God when you come out and you have to walk your wife and put her back in a car, knowing that we don't have that little baby, but God does. And all those little babies that have been aborted, my God, my Almighty God in His image, He takes them all. And then that 5th trip, I just knew the ultrasound even said it was a boy, and I still didn't believe them. I didn't believe Him until Luke came out, and there He was. And I thought to myself, God Almighty, He is the one that gives life. He's the giver of life. And so tonight as I come to the conclusion of this message, oh, I pray that you would get just a glimpse of the foretaste of the picture, the image of God Almighty. There's a verse of Scripture that says that we now look through a glass darkly, and we get a glimpse of the image of God every now and then, and His goodness. But you know what the writer said? He said, there's coming a day that we'll get to see Him face to face. And we will behold all the attributes of God for ourselves. And I'll tell you, we wouldn't be able to do it in this body. You remember Moses? Moses said, Lord, would you let me see you. He said, when I passed by, you hide in the cleft of the rock, and when you see me go by, you can see my hinder parts. Oh, it was so glorious. And when Moses came off the mountain, the people were so afraid, he had to put a veil on. I'm telling you, the image of God is beyond the vocabulary that I have tonight, but I have tried to just at least help you understand, all of us understand, that the image of God is greater. And if you want to know God, if you want to know how to see God, you'll have to see his son who died for our sins to make the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for all of us that we could come back to God. As we stand tonight and sing, that's the message God laid upon my heart. Thank you for listening. If you're here and you're not saved, seek the Lord while he may be found. If you are here saved, give God his glory and his honor for his beautiful image that he still has. I pray that we don't distort it. The world is distorting his image. They're distorting everything about God. And I think it's high time we stand up for God and let him know that we are a child of the King. As we stand and sing.
Number 1, verses 1, 2, and 4.
You're not a child of the King. Seek the Lord until you know him. The free pardon of sin. Thank you.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down thy golden crown around the glassy sea. Cherubims and seraphims falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Amen.